Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Say amen again.
Amen.
Why don't you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Now that we're established, you can say it. You can say it anytime you want to. Amen. It's all right. Amen. Don't look for the rest of the praise. Is it time now? Yes, it's time. Anytime you feel it, just say it. Amen. It is indeed a joy, honor, and a great pleasure to be standing open and honest in the presence of the Lord with my great friend and amazing man in ministry, the Reverend Darrell Armstrong. Amen.
Amen.
I am old enough now that I'm beginning to go around the country and see some of the promises be fulfilled. Amen. And what I've noticed is, as I always say, God will not, He will not fulfill your dreams. He will blow your imagination. In Darrell Armstrong, he's blown my imagination. Now, usually I give him a hard time before I preach, so I'm going to try to break that pattern and let you know that I am deeply honored to be here. And I also recognize that he is a rare human being in ministry. It's one thing to have a preacher. It's another thing to have a prophet. And it's another thing to have a pastor. It's a really rare thing to have all three in one. And in that man, you have that. Amen. And I'll tell you, you remember the little 18, 19-year-old young man running around, and you realize that God had in him the seed that is growing right now. And though he may think he is old, he's only just begun. Amen.
Amen.
And it is always a hope in ministry when you are a mentor to someone that you would want them to see you. You want to see them succeed you. And I want to see that happen with Darrell. Only after I'm dead, y'all, though. So I'm going to keep on running. But boy, he's running fast after, ain't he? And I believe the 2020 vision is going to be here, and God's going to do great and great things. Amen? I'm going to say, understand something. Water does not move through the stone and cut the stone because it is powerful. It does it because it's persistent. And so understand something that you might say, but is it strong enough? Is the vision strong enough? Do we have enough? Let me tell you something. All you have to do is have faith and never give up, and you will do things that you never thought you could do. Amen? Don't look at the numbers that are there. Look at the God who shows up. You only need one. Amen? And as a person who's had to raise thousands and literally millions of dollars, let me tell you how you do it. $1 at a time. And you remember that whatever dollars you have, God still owns houses, all the houses and land and cattle on 1,000 hills. And all you're doing is waiting for God to deliver what God's going to deliver. Amen? And so if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed to the mountain, it did not say you could push on the mountain. It says you can speak to that thing. And when you speak to that thing, it will be removed. So I will tell you, in the midst of this campaign, all you got to do is watch your mouth. You just keep on speaking that thing. 2020 is here already. I speak that thing. I say it. I call it into existence. I don't care how long it takes. And don't you dare let somebody talk to you about what ain't going to happen. You say, excuse me, I'm not with you. I'm with the God that says I can do all things. Now, he didn't tell me to say that, but see, this is what I could do with my time when I'm not putting, joking with you. I can get real, amen? But let's get into the Word of God, because I know time is running. And I want you to look at a few passages of Scripture today. The 8 o'clock service I preached, Coming Home to Mama, from the prodigal son. If you're interested in it, get the tape. Amen. I ain't preaching that right now. Some of y'all done said, he gonna preach you wrong. I ain't preaching that. Get the tape. That's why we put it on tape and on film and everything else. Praise God. Isaiah 64:2-4. Please rise if you can. We're going to do three scriptures. And when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil, come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you, this is Isaiah 64. That was the second verse. I'm now on the third one, 64. Isaiah 64. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard. No ear has perceived. No eyes have seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. Next scripture, I'm going to point you to the Bible, is 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, verses 9 through 12. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things of God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thought except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. And then finally, I want you to go back to the Old Testament and look at Daniel, the book of Daniel. One of your pastor's favorite preaching books. It has been for years. Second chapter, 28 to the 30th verse. Then Aruch hurriedly brought Daniel into the king's presence and spoke to him as follows. I have found a man among the exiles. I'm on the 25th verse. I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can make the interpretation known to the king. The king said to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation? And Daniel answered before the king and said, as for the mysteries about which the king has required, neither wise men, conquerors, magicians, or diviners were able to declare it to the king. However, there is a God. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, there is a God. Somebody high five your neighbor and say, there is a God. Oh, I don't understand it, but there is a God. I know what everybody said. There is a God. They don't, but there is a God in heaven, amen, that can reveal all things to the king. Have a seat, and the sermon title is, there is a God. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We worship you. We honor you. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Unto all that you are and all that you're doing, we give your name honor and we praise you. We worship you. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, let your anointing flow, that anointing that makes preaching easy, clarity of thought to one's mind, precision of expression to one's lip, that you may be glorified. Literally, Holy Ghost, walk these aisles. Let no one leave this place the same way we came. And if there's someone here crying that does not know you, Jesus, let them come crying, I yield, I yield, I yield unto thee. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We are living in strange times. They are strange because nobody can understand what's going on. Things just don't make sense anymore. In fact, it doesn't make sense politically. It doesn't make sense socially. It doesn't make sense psychologically, and it probably don't make sense in your house. Because you look and say, I thought things were going one way, but they end up going another. And in the midst of all the things not going well, the thing that we cannot understand is why in all of this confusion, people do not come to the church. After all, they go everywhere else. They go to soothsayers. They have, every corner's got a palm reader on it, and everybody's got somebody on TV. There's a 1-800 psychic outline. Everyone, by the way, don't tell me you did. Nobody calls it, because if they didn't call it, they wouldn't keep having them on TV. In point of fact, somebody got to be paying those people that told them. They do astrology and then their spirituality. In the time of court, why isn't it that people are running to the church? They're running to the church because they think of the church as just another option. But I stop by to tell you it's the only option. I stop by to tell you that the reality is that there is a God. I didn't say there is a spirituality. I did not say there is a feeling, an emotion. I did not say that there is a religion. I said there is a God. See, a religion has all kinds of things. It has all kinds of ways. It has all kinds of means. But it does not necessarily have a God. Follow some folk home and you will understand they got a religion, but they don't have a God. Follow somebody to the job and you find out they have a religion, but they don't have a God. Find somebody in their marriage, they have a religion, but they don't have a God. Let me make it plain. When you have a God, you do differently. You act differently because you know somebody's there. The presence of the divine is there. But if all you got is a religion, all you got is a feeling, all you got is an amen and a hallelujah, you can lay that down sometime. But when there's a God, then you know that he looks high, he sits whole, and he's always there. When there is a God, he'll check you when you want to do something. When there is a God, you will want to do it but can't. Why? Because there is a God. And it is not just that there is a God. Notice what it says in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians is the battle, the whole, the context of 1 Corinthians. And can I preach? Can I just preach a little bit? The context of 1 Corinthians is what Paul is actually saying. Paul is saying, I didn't come to you with a religion. I didn't come to you with what somebody else says. I came to you with the wisdom of God. You see, not only is there is a God that has an opinion. There is a God that has a will. There is a God that wants, well, I don't know if you get this. In other words, God is not accidentally sitting here. God is not accidentally just around the corner. God has a will, and he's a will for this life and a will for your life and my life. There is a God. So he begins to say, not only is there a God, there is a God that looks high, looks low, and shows you stuff you don't know. One of the reasons that at the time of confusion is one of the reasons you need God more is because when you're confused, he's not. When you're worried, he's not. When you don't understand, he got this. Because he is so powerful that he has all power. He's so knowledgeable, he has all knowledge. The issue is you got to lay down your stuff to pick up his stuff. There is a since there is a God. And since there is a God, notice what it says. It says, no eye have seen. No ear has. Oh, you're not getting the message. You know, how can I make this plain? See, God, now see, most folk think they know how God's going to react. Most folk think that because I've walked with God for so long, I know what God's going to do. Most folk think because God did that. But I'm telling you right now, God says, I'm going to do some stuff you ain't never seen before. I'm going to speak in ways you've not seen before. Well, why is that important? Because you're dealing with some stuff you've never seen before. But the good news is there is a God that's already got an answer before the question was even been asked. It's amazing, it's amazing, it's amazing to me how so many folk in the church are so scared. They're so downtrodden. What I'm going to do, how I'm going to do it, how is God going to move? Well, let me help you right now. You can look all day, and God didn't tell you to figure it out. He just said, worship me. I got it. You see, the understanding, in fact, 1 Corinthians is about the epistemology of greatness, the epistemology of God moving. Now, it simply means the way you think can't be your thoughts. It's got to be. Literally, it means that our minds are not big enough to see what. How can I make this plain? You understand that the very things that make you afraid shouldn't make you excited. If it's that bad, how bad must God be? If it's that broken, how bad must God? If it's that messed up, look what God's going to do. Oh, I'm getting excited. You really messed up? God's really going to fix you up. You really broken? God's going to put you back together. Because there is. And at the point of confusion, at the point of problematic reality, at the point of desperation, God shows up and he doesn't show up with an explanation. Let me be very clear. God does not show up with an explanation. I've got something to say to you that you may not like. God does not owe you an explanation. God does not owe you an explanation. It is the problem of what modern world right now. We are so in mind, we are so in our mind that we think we have a right to know everything. Yet there are things that just happen that we don't know about. It's called the things of the Spirit. It doesn't mean that it's not, can't be known. It means it's not known now.
Oh,
let me give you a verse. How can I make this plain? You see, when I was a child in school, I didn't know nothing about calculus. My brother would bring home his math book, and I'd look at all the math book. And I looked at it, and I couldn't understand a word it says because I was too young. Because I wasn't developed enough. But it didn't matter whether I understood it, it still was real. Oh, I hope you get this. And then as I grew into the thing, then I understood what that math problem does. And I thought I was smart until he brought on another math book. And in that math book, I didn't understand what that meant. Then I got smarter and I grew into it. Now you understand, it didn't wait for me to understand it for it to be true. Do you get what I'm saying? It's not waiting for God to be moving. He don't wait for you to understand him. He don't wait for you to get it. All he says is believe and know that it is a God and I'm moving. So it is a weird thing that people lose faith when they cannot understand. If you got things going in your life that you don't understand, you got sickness in your body, I've lived all I can, I've done everything I can, I don't understand why I don't have what I want to have. I know you're looking for an explanation, but I want you to stop and just say, thank you that there is an explanation. Thank you that there's a God who shows up. Thank you that there's somebody that sees when I don't see. Thank you that somebody moves when I can't move. Thank you that there is a God. And so in the 1 Corinthians, it says in that text, it says literally, it is not only about the wisdom, it says that God is working in wisdom to work through us. I want to slow this down a little bit because there's a deep reality here. The deep reality is not only does God move for you, God moves in you without your permission. You bless folk and you don't even know how you bless them. You do things. Hey, I ever had somebody come to you and say, boy, you blessed me, and you went, really? I was going through something then. I didn't know I was blessing anybody. Because the Lord says in this passage, he says that not only would he show you the deep things of God, not only is he trying to show you the wisdom of God, but the Spirit of God is revealing to you in your spirit what God is using for somebody else's spirit. Now the reason that's important is for you to understand, not only is there is a God, but there's a God working in us. Oh, you're not getting the message. See, I want you to know there's a reason that the churches are not filled, not just because people are not looking to the church. It's because we don't know who we are. You are the light of the world. You are the city set up on a hill. You are broken. We are broken. We are messed up. We may not have everything we got, but God was working in us, and the light of God is shining through us, and we ought to stand up and say, I don't know everything. I didn't say everything. I said everything. But I know God, and that is all you need to know. Stop being so fearful that you don't know enough to tell somebody about God. Stop being so fearful that folk ought to see your life. And they ought to look at you, and because you're like, well, you know, I ain't perfect too. So I don't want to testify because somebody might look at me. Yeah, if you're telling somebody to look at you, you're right. But you say, no, don't look at me. Look at the God in me. Look at what God has to say. And so when you are indeed confessed to be a child of God, it's a funny thing that people will come to you when they are confused. You ever notice the folk on your job who ain't religious at all will ask you to pray for them? You ever notice the people literally that don't understand, they messed up, been on your side, been talking about you for your whole life, been saying ain't nothing for you, let them get messed up, they say, I hear you go to church. Can you put my name on the... Because even folk who don't believe in God know there is... So the notion, because there is something in us, according to the word of God, we were created in the image of God. God recognizes God. Now, you don't understand what that means, and you may not understand that, but if you ever go to Africa, you go, and you're a black person, you go to Africa, and you walk in Africa, you go, there's my cousin. They look like us. They ain't been there for four generations, but there's an image in them that all speaks to the image in me, and I know I'm home. Well, I've got good news for you. There's an image in you that even in the midst of trouble, people come looking at you because they look at the image of God in you. And so it is in the book of Daniel, because Daniel understood that there is a God. Now, I'm going to make this plain. When we're looking and hearing about the politics of the day, when we're worried about our children, which we should be, when we're looking and saying, wringing our hands about who's going to be president, and when we're looking and trying to figure out how we're going to move forward, the important part of it is that people will come to you and you will give them a political answer, but you know what? They can get that on CNN. And you will give them an answer about what they should do psychologically, but they can get that in the psychological realm. And if they want to do what you want to do financially, they can get that with financial advisors. They didn't come to you to get advice. They came to you to get a witness. And so when Daniel gets called upon to say there's a dream that's going on, and when the king has a dream that no one else can understand. Oh, y'all missed this. And that's why Daniel, I love Brother Daniel. I love Daniel. I really do love Daniel. Because that brother got a little attitude. I love him. He'll tear you off while he's being loving to you. Now, you know, he could have just come up in there and told him. He said, no. King, let me tell you something. Your musicians and your spiritual folk and all of that other stuff, they can't tell you anything. But actually, the way the text reads wasn't, I'm telling you they can't tell anything. It reads like this. Well, you done asked everybody else, haven't you? Ain't your musicians, they ain't got something to do with it? Don't you go and look at all them other folk? Oh, now you asking little old me. And understand, look at the language of the text. It uses his language of the slave. Oh, you missed this, didn't you? He didn't call him Daniel. He calls him Beelzebub. In other words, the king is trying to say, you are less than me. And Daniel's looking up and saying, yeah, I may be the less, but I got the most. Y'all missed that, didn't you? Yeah, I may not be the supervisor, but who praying for you now? I may not be the one you want to promote, but you know you need to come to me to get a word for prayer, don't you? You understand that God, that very text, what he's reacting to, is being put down by the king to say, you have talked to everybody else, and you coming to me. Now, the next thing he does in the context of this, he makes it very clear that it's not because of who I am, but because of who I know. I'm going to sit right here. I'm going to sit in the choir stand. Because you see, the problem that none of these choir members do it, but the problem that happens in some choir, they think people get happy in the spirit because of how they sing. It ain't how they sing. It's what's singing in their spirit. It's that their gifts are given to God. And when your gifts are given to God, something changes. You can be a mezzo soprano and no one can listen to you. And then you can be off key and anointed and everybody can fall out because you've given it to God. It's not me. It's the God in me. It's not my abilities. It's that I know the God that hears and answers my prayer. Let me be very clear. It's not your PhD. It's not your MD. It's not your JD. It's because God lives in you. And that is what speaks out of you. It doesn't matter. I like you to have that. But even if you just got a high school diploma, if there is a God, God will breathe on that. Because What they're looking for is not knowledge, but wisdom. Wisdom is different from knowledge. Wisdom is the ability to live effectively even when you don't have the right resources to do so. Wisdom is how a lot of us got here. Didn't have enough money. When you look at your budget, you look at it and say, I don't know how I got over, but somehow God took my little and made it a lot, and I raised my children on wisdom. I don't know how I got through. I know what the doctors say, and they said I was going to be dead, but look at me, I knew what I need to do. Wisdom is the ability to do what you need to do in this season. You need to do it. So Daniel said, look here, king, you don't understand. For you to accept my revelation is to accept my identity. Y'all missed that. Understand this. You're going to have to come out of the closet as a Christian. You're going to have to let somebody know. The reason it's working is not because I'm working it, because God is working in me, and his name is Jesus Christ. And because you think you see me, but it is the Christ in me that's reaching out to you. So Daniel said, before I tell you your dream, I need to tell you who I am. I need to tell you I'm not Beelzebub. I'm Daniel, anointed, appointed man of God. And I need to tell you right clearly, you may not accept it, but I know that there is a... But here's the problem. Here's the real problem. The real problem is most of us don't have that testimony. We have the testimony of religion. We have the testimony of superstition. But we don't have the testimony of relationship. You see, this stuff don't come because you read the Bible. It comes because you know the God of the Bible. This stuff don't come because you're just a shallow church every once in a while. Come when you want it and feel bad. Then say, I'm going to do better and go back and do the same old thing. That ain't going to get you over. That's not the testimony. You got to be able to say, I know that I know that I know that I know that I know, know there is a God, because I talk to him and he talks to me. I pray to him and I know he's alive. He's touched me. He healed me. He brought me. That's how I know. Yes, sir. This morning I'm coming at you right now. I'm coming at you right now. I'm coming at those who sit on the pew and you believe somehow intellectually that God exists, but you've never experienced him. I dare you to try him this morning. I dare you to raise your hands and say, God, I want your presence. I want to be able to say to people, I don't think you exist. I know you do. And if you said, how do you know that's true? Because God says, I will reveal myself to those who seek me. They will know me. God's not hiding. You're just not seeking. So he goes, but that's really not why I preach this. That is all the prelude to why I preach this. What blows my mind, Isaiah 64 is different from 1 Corinthians. And the difference is this. Isaiah 64 says that God's going to do things that you haven't seen. Y'all don't get this. I'm preaching this for myself. I need this right now. You can get it if you want to, but I'm preaching it for me. But 1 Corinthians says that God has a plan. In other words, there's a God with a plan. You mean to tell me that he really has something he wants to do? This isn't a mess. This is a plan. You mean that which I cannot understand? It's not just crazy. It's a plan. You mean all that I'm going through There's a plan. There's a purpose in my suffering. There's a purpose in my confusion. There's a purpose in what I'm going through. God not only says, I'm going to reveal what you have not seen, but I have planned this thing. Now, y'all may not get it, because some things I look and say, God, why am I going through it? And then I remember, he doesn't have me an explanation. All he has to say is, there's a plan. Look at your neighbor and say, there's a plan. Look at another neighbor and say, there's a plan. Somebody need a high five and say, there's a plan. It's not accidental. It ain't just happening to me. Yeah, oh, wait a minute. You mean there's a plan in Trenton? It's called 2020. There's a plan. Y'all don't understand. See, until things got so bad, there's some folk who say, we got to do something about children. We got to do something about youth. We got to do something about, but until it gets bad, they don't do nothing. So there's a plan now. It's bad enough now, ain't it? That which you thought you could not do, you now will do, because there was a plan. There's a plan. There's a plan. There's a plan. In fact, all of us got saved by a plan. Stuff got through in our lives. We kept saying we want to know Jesus. But when we got broken and when there was no other way, then God came to me. And you know what you said? I would have gone through all of that to meet the Lord. There was a plan. So Daniel says to the king, the reason you can't understand this is because you don't understand the plan. And you don't understand the one who made the plan. And I'm not saying I understand the plan, but I know there's this plan. You mean Donald Trump? There is a plan. Oh, y'all missed that. You scared. The plan might be finally get you to vote. I don't know what the plan is. The plan might be finally get y'all to understand what really is going on. Well, I don't know what the plan is, but there is a plan. Well, I don't know if the scripture says all that. Well, then let me give you another one. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for the good of God who are called according to his purpose. Do you understand there is a plan working for your good right now? And that'll just change the way you go through the day. In your worst situation, you look and say, there's a plan. In fact, this is the reason that nobody comes to you. Because you're so busy complaining and trying to explain, which leads to gossip and to problems. You understand gossip is just the way what you fill in the blank when you don't understand. Let me say that again. Gossip is, that's why you don't think you're lying. You're just gossiping. You don't know nothing. You just fill it in with folk that you don't even know about. Just fill it in. They asked me, didn't they? I was minding my own business. I ain't know nothing. But since they asked me, it looked like that's what's going on in her life. It's because you don't understand something. You are so busy trying to understand rather than going, I don't understand it, but there's a... Don't you think so-and-so is crazy? Yes, I do. But let's not talk about her. Let's begin to worship God for her. Because I know she's coming out of this. Because there's a plan. When you begin to believe that there's a plan, your whole idea of how you deal with people change. You look at folk and say, I'm not going to put you down because you ain't going to be there long. Because there's a plan, you getting up. The last thing, I'm going to sit down, because pastor always say that I preach too long, so I'm going to shut up here now, okay? I'm going to shut up. But I cut it off. Ooh, you don't know what the point I was going to preach on that last sermon. I didn't get the chance to preach it. I'm going to preach this last point here. Not only do you understand that there is a plan, but here's the thing that I do not understand. The plan will work whether you believe or not. Do you understand that? Oh, look at me crazy, but you know you've been looking at some people that are going, why they blessed? How they doing all that? Because the plan works, because God's plan is bigger than our own agendas. So stop looking at folk and trying to say, you ought not, you should not. God just blessed God for anybody being blessed, because it means if they got blessed, here I come, because I know I can be blessed. If the craziest person in the job who don't work at all, who don't have nothing to do, if she can become a supervisor, here I come. If the most weirdest guy, the most weirdest woman, the guy who don't live nothing in their life. If they can get a miracle, here I come, because God worked on the just as well as the unjust. He spoke to Daniel and said, you don't know this God, but this God knows you, and this God's going to bless you anyhow. I hope somebody got that. So the issue is not to bring your prejudice into your spirituality. It's to allow you to say, God loves everybody. I don't like you, but God loves you. I don't understand you, but God loves you. I'm going to still tell you, there is a... Everybody stand to your feet real quick. Quickly, quickly. Hallelujah. Somebody in here needs this God. You've been struggling and looking for wisdom of how you live your life. And I want you to know there's a plan. And God wants to reveal it right now. Some folk have been playing church. As I was preaching, you say, how? He sounds so certain and everybody's jumping up and down. How can they know so certain? That's a sign that you need to give it all to Jesus. Because I guarantee you, all you need to be is in the presence of Jesus one time, and you'll never doubt him again. You'll be mad at him. You'll be angry with him. But you'll never doubt his existence ever again. So tonight, so today I ask you to come as the choir sings and say, there's a God and I want to know him. There's a God and I want to be embraced. There's a God and I need his wisdom. Come right now. Come right now.
As the deacons and clergy and deaconess extend themselves into the congregation, we simply want to offer an opportunity for someone to respond to the gospel message. We believe the gospel is good news. And so when we say it's good news, we mean that when you take that step towards God, we believe that burdens can be lifted, hearts can be encouraged, minds would be comforted. So we want to offer that to you today in the name of Jesus. If you came into this sanctuary a little heavy laden, a heavy burden, I want you to know that when you take a step towards God, God always takes a step towards you. And we invite you to come now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Is there one? Won't you pray with me? Father in heaven, I pray that the word that has been preached and proclaimed and taught today would not return void, but that it may accomplish that which you intended. Even if folk don't get up to come forward, God, I pray that you would touch them and convict them in the depth of their soul. But maybe, just maybe, there's somebody who needs to express themselves and say, Lord, I surrender. I surrender all to you. And so have your way in somebody and everybody's life. Draw us all closer to you, Lord, that we may have a closer walk with thee. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Let the saints of God say together, amen. We're going to give you another opportunity to Christ. I want you to come not to the preacher, not to the deacon, not to the usher, but to Christ. Is there anyone who wants to give us your hand and give God your heart? In the name of Jesus. Anyone here? Anyone here? Anyone here? Anyone here? God bless you. You may be seated. You may be seated. One more time, choir, to Christ. Come on, put your hands together and give the Lord a praise offering. We bless God today for the preached word. Were you not blessed by the word of God through the man of God? There is a God. Amen. So we say to you that if for some reason